Good evening, friends. As always, welcome to our midweek meeting. We're turning again to Nehemiah chapter 8, so if you could please turn up that portion of the Word of God. Nehemiah chapter 8, continuing to look at the joy of the Lord being our strength. We'll read this chapter, pray, and then hear what God would say to us through His Word. So Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 1. Now all the people gathered together as one man in the open square that was in front of the water gate. And they told Israel the scribe to bring the books of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded Israel. So Israel the priest brought the law before the assembly of men and women, and all who could hear with understanding, on the first day of the seventh month. Then he read from it in the open square that was in front of the water gate from morning until midday, before the men and women and those who could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. So Ezra, the scribe, stood on a platform of wood, which they had made for the purpose. And beside him at his right hand stood Mattathiah, Shema, Ananiah, Urijah, Hilkiah, and Maaseiah, and at his left hand Pedaiah, Mishael, Malchijah, Hashem, Hashbadanah, Zechariah, and Meshillam. And Israel opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was standing above all the people, and when he opened it, all the people stood up. And Israel blessed the Lord, the great God. And all the people answered, Amen, Amen, while lifting up their hands. And they bowed their heads and worshipped the Lord with their faces to the ground. And Jeshua, Bani, Sherebiah, Jamin, Akub, Shabbathiah, Hodijah, Maaseiah, Azariah, Jozabad, Hanan, Peliah, and the Levites helped the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their place. So they read distinctly from the book of the law of God, and they give the sense and help them to understand the reading. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn nor weep. For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said to them, Go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions to those for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So the Levites quieted all the people, saying, Be still, for the day is holy. Do not be grieved. And all the people went their way to eat and drink, to send portions and joy greatly, because they understood the words that were declared to them. Now on the second day, the heads of the fathers' houses of all the people with the priests and Levites were gathered to Ezra the scribe in order to understand the words of the law. And they found written in the law, which the Lord had commanded by Moses, that the children of Israel should dwell in booths during the feast of the seventh month, and that they should announce and proclaim in all their cities and in Jerusalem, saying, Go out to the mountain and bring olive branches, branches of oil trees, myrtle branches, palm branches, and branches of leafy trees to make booths, as it is written. And the people went out and brought them and made themselves booths, each one on the roof of his house or in the courtyards or the courts of the house of God and in the open square of the water gate and in the open square of the gate of Ephraim. So the whole assembly of those who had returned from the captivity made booths and sat under the booths, for since the days of Joshua the son of Nun until that day, the children of Israel had not done so, and there was very great gladness. Also, day by day, from the first day until the last day, he read from the book of the law of God, and they kept the feast 7 days, and on the 8th day there was a sacred assembly according to the prescribed manner. Amen. Just let us pray. Father, we commit ourselves and our meeting into your hands in prayer. We can do nothing without you. We need your help this evening. We need your help to concentrate on what is said and done. And we ask, Lord, that you would indeed make us to be the people that you've called us to be. Make us a joyful people. Pray you'll be with Roger as he ministers this coming Sunday. May he know liberty of spirit. May your good hand be upon him. And pray, Lord, for the people of God who will be meeting at the chapel here this coming Lord's Day morning. Enrich them, we pray, in Jesus' blessed name. Amen. Well, friends, the only truly blessed, joyful people are Christians. The Christian has joy in retrospect. You know, as we look back, we rejoice because the Savior has died. And not only has he died, but he has risen. Hallelujah. And not only is there joy in retrospect as we look back and think of what Christ has done for us, but there is also, is there not, present joy. Present joy. Because we're never alone. Our Savior has said that he will always be with us. So not only joy as we look back, not only joy in the present, but there's also future joy as we anticipate the glory that awaits all the redeemed. When Christ shall come with shout of exclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart? You see, friends, we are a joyful people. There is joy in memory, the joy of love, the joy of hope. There is the joy of a peaceful conscience, the joy of a teachable mind. There is the joy of the trustful soul, the joy of the adoring spirit, and the joy of glowing hope. In Christ's name, we rejoice. That's where we get our joy. The joy of the Lord, as we read in verse 10, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Joy, rejoicing, and praising God are necessary for effective Christian service, as we noted last week. In Nehemiah chapter 8, we have something of a revival at the Watergate. The word is brought out, it's read and explained in the hearing of the people, and they are convicted, they are cut to the heart, sorrowful as a result of what they are hearing. And so there is mourning and weeping, which in itself is evidence of their repentance. But remember, they are told, don't weep. Nehemiah, Ezra, the Levites say to them, don't weep. Why? Why did they tell them not to weep? Because they were to rejoice. They were a blessed people. So there is the command to rejoice. And I brought some examples last week, just a few from Psalms, Psalm 100, Psalm 42, Psalm 40, wasn't it, 16? But numerous Psalms you could turn to, and you can see the exhortation there to sing and to be joyful. We're also exhorted to rejoice in trials. James 1, verse 2. And Nehemiah was a man who could rejoice in trials, even when his enemies were saying things against him. Joy is necessary, and this is where I sort of concluded last week. Joy is necessary for the good of the assembly. It's necessary for the good of the fellowship. And as I indicated last week, 5 points to look at in connection with that. It says in verse 1, now all the people, And the first point is simply this, friends: complete participation encourages our joy in the Lord. If the joy of the Lord is our strength, we want to do those things which please God. We want to serve God. We want to also encourage other saints, because that's what God has told us to do. And I've often said, you know, just turning up is an encouragement. You know, even when we had the open air, when people just turned up, even if they weren't doing anything, the fact that they were just standing there was such an encouragement. And it's the same with church friends. You know, you just turn up. Boy, it's such an encouragement. All that thrills our heart, isn't it, is to see Jesus. And we want to go to a place where the Word of God is uplifted and where Jesus is exalted. And when you come in and you're with other like-minded people, well, it touches the heart. And it's good to see the saints when they meet together. When people are consistently missing, it's a grief to the heart. It's sad. And no doubt, like myself, you ask the question, you know, these people who are so inconsistent, are they okay? Are they backsliding sometime, you wonder? You wonder why there is such inconsistency, such lack of desire to meet with the people of God. And sometimes you sort of think to yourself, and at the end of the day, God knows the heart, you know, are these people really saved? Because someone who's saved will want to meet with the people of God, not to be saved, obviously, but it just seems to be the natural desire, the natural draw of the heart to be where the people of God are. But you see the point, friends, when everyone shows commitment, it says when all the people were there in chapter 8, when everyone shows commitment, it encourages joy. Every Christian should certainly strive to be faithful. The Bible teaches that all saved people ought to serve God, ought to participate 100%. That's what every child of God should want to do. Every member of the household of faith, every member of the church should be there every service. And when they are not there, how they are missed. And if, you know, flesh and blood misses you, you know, how much more the Savior? Well, that leads us to the second point. Not only complete participation, total commitment, but also cooperation. Cooperation from total commitment, participation flowing from that. You have a spirit of joyful cooperation and unity. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. You see, in Nehemiah chapter 8, not only did everybody show up, it says that they were together as one. They were there praying the same. They were worshiping the same. They're desiring the same thing, that Jehovah be magnified and glorified. And that's what our desire is, beloved, when we meet together, to put it in a New Testament context, that we're desiring that Jesus Christ be magnified and glorified. There must be no one there self-seeking or wanting things to go their way or being petulant because things aren't going their way. Everybody must be desiring together that Jesus Christ be magnified, that Jesus Christ be exalted and glorified in the eyes of all the people. And the souls of the saved rejoice in that. Isn't that right? We want to see Jesus. Just like those Greeks in John's Gospel. Sir, we would see Jesus. So there is complete cooperation, complete participation. And thirdly, we note again that the Word of God was preached. That's what we want. We want the Word of God to be preached. And it makes for a joyful fellowship when the Word of God is faithfully preached. Psalm 56, verse 10, In God, I will praise his word. In the Lord, I will praise his word. Christ is the word. And in opening the word of God, we are seeking to uplift and exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. When Christ is exalted, it makes for a joyful Christian and it makes for a joyful church. All that thrills my soul is Jesus. Isn't that right? And when your soul is thrilled with Jesus, it fills you with joy. And when you get several people filled with joy, it adds to the joy, doesn't it? And then other people become joyful. But fourthly, there is also prayer. Prayer is never far away, friends. We can't afford to neglect prayer, as we've been saying throughout this, as we've been saying for many years. We can't shy away from prayer. We see prayer again in verse 6. Israel prayed that God would bless the gathering together. Prayer should always be part of the life of the church. Joy comes when we pray, doesn't it? John 16:24 that I read last week, Jesus saying in his upper room discourse to his disciples, John 16:24, until now you have asked nothing in my name, ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Joy comes when we pray. Joy comes from answered prayer. You know, friends, there's nothing that thrills the heart more than to know that God heard and answered prayer. Does it not give you joy to know that you have prayed specifically for something and God answered? You know, there was no accident or coincidence about the answer. You know, it was God answered. You know that the answer was brought about by the hand of God. The God who made the universe. The God who sits on the throne of glory. He heard your prayer. And he sent an angel to answer your prayer, to work out the circumstances and to meet your need. And doesn't that cause you to rejoice when your prayer is answered and you relate that to the brothers and sisters in Christ, or when it's related at the prayer meeting? Doesn't it cause the church to rejoice? You will rejoice as you pray. Indeed, you will. But you will also rejoice because God has heard and answered your prayer. Where does joy come from? Psalm 16, verse 11. In your presence, in God's presence, is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. The pleasures of this world are nothing compared to the pleasures that can be enjoyed by the people of God in prayer. But fifthly, notice there is not only prayer, but praise and conversation. The people said amen and amen. Here's a biblical verse that shows folk should give a hearty amen. We shouldn't be too shy about saying amen when God has touched our hearts with a spiritual truth as it is proclaimed. Now, of course, we don't want to go down the road of everybody shouting amen every 30 seconds, or somebody wanting to say two amens more than somebody else. We want to stay clear of that nonsense. But you know, when God touches your heart, we should not be afraid to say amen. And here are these folks, and they lifted their hearts to heaven, they bowed their faces in humility. They were humbled by the preaching of the word of God. They were worshiping the Lord in humility, not in pride. They were not bragging. They were not saying, you know, it's what we have done. You know, look at the wall we have built. Let's give ourselves a clap on the back. No, it's what God has done. It's what God has been pleased to use us to do. And basically, they were saying, look to God, not to us. And that's our cry every week, isn't it? Look to Christ, not to us. And again, as a church talks about Christ and seeks to uplift Christ, doesn't it bring joy? Now, what are the ingredients of joy? How can we be joyful Christians? What brings joy to a Christian's heart? Well, as we look at these questions, there will obviously be some overlap from previous thoughts and points, but the overlap will only serve to reinforce the importance of joy. So what brings joy to a Christian's heart? Well, forgiveness brings joy, doesn't it, beloved? The joy of these people was based on their knowledge of forgiveness. They had been freed from Babylon. That meant they could go to the book of Moses and they could read in Deuteronomy 30, verse 4, if any of you are driven out to the furthest parts under heaven, and that's what had happened to them, didn't it? They had been driven out of the land of promise to the what seemed to them to be the farthest parts under heaven. It says, if any of you are driven there, then the Lord your God will gather you, and from there he will bring you. Isn't that amazing? They were able to go to that. They were able to see, you know, God sent us there in judgment, but he has brought us back, and we have that forgiveness. Well, they had been captive, as I say, in Babylon. They are now released because they had cried to God. God had heard their prayer and forgiven them. And now they know the joy of that forgiveness. So Nehemiah and Ezra, they're saying, this is the reason for you to rejoice. Remember the Gospels, how Jesus sends out the 70 and they come back and they are bursting with joy. Lord, they're saying, even the spirits are subject to us. And what does Jesus say to them? Do not rejoice in this, but rather rejoice that your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Beloved, is not a reason just to hit pause on your computer, your laptop, or your phone, or whatever you're listening to at the minute. Just hit pause and shout, praise the Lord, my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Notice it says when they heard the word of God, they wept. We touched on that last week. They saw when the word of God was being read, they saw how they were supposed to be living and how they weren't living, how they were falling short of that. And they cry and they mourn until Nehemiah, Ezra, the Levites say to them, look, don't be crying, don't be weeping. Now we know Satan will often come and he's the accuser of the brethren. And when the word is read and when the word is preached, he's sending you out more discouraged than what you come in. And you're blaming the preacher. You know, the preacher should have been exhorting us more today. And you don't realize that it's Satan that's sending you out that way, discouraging you, because the word of God, when it's preached, the Spirit of God, yes, can fix us of our sin. And if there's things in our life that shouldn't be in our life, it makes us miserable. But praise God, he's showing us those things. He's highlighting those things so that we confess them. And when we confess them, what did we say last week? Confess sin, forgiven sin is forgotten sin. And so when the Holy Spirit convicts, there's a difference between what the Holy Spirit does and what Satan does, right? The Holy Spirit convicts to lead us to repentance. And then what does he replace it with? Joy. What does Satan do? He comes and he accuses and he never lets go. He just keeps accusing, accusing, accusing. And we go out with the head down and we say, oh, what miserable Christians we are. Instead of saying to Satan, yes, you are right. That's exactly what I am. But by the grace of God, I'm forgiven and I'm going to rejoice. So you remember Nehemiah, the very fact that you're saved, the very fact that you're forgiven, you know, gives you reason to rejoice. Yes, it is good to weep over sin, but not to stay in that situation. The reason we weep over our sins is that we might rejoice in our salvation. Don't let Satan deceive you into staying in a sorrowful condition. Get thee behind me, Satan, get thee away. Remember that chorus we used to sing in children's meetings? Well, friends, moving on. I've already mentioned James 1, verse 2, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. This is one of those strange ingredients that brings joy to the heart. Joy is often nourished by affliction. You know, problems help us to become completely dependent upon God. Now, did you ever notice very often it's people with the most problems who have the greatest joy? Isn't that interesting? People who have the most problems are the people who have the greatest joy. Often the trial or the affliction divorces you from any earthly dependence and you throw yourself entirely on God. And such people exhibit great joy in their lives, but they never talk about their problems or their pains. Why not? Because they've thrown themselves in God so much that he takes up their life. And he is their full focus and their full attention. And so they're not talking about their pains, they're not talking about their problems, they're talking about their Savior. You know, you squeeze a grape and wine comes forth. Many times we only see the wine, we don't see the grape being squeezed. Take the petals of a rose and crush the petals and fragrance comes forth. Many times we see the fragrance of a person's personality and the wine of their happiness, but we don't see them crushed and squeezed and often broken with the trials of life. It was so with the Lord Jesus Christ, wasn't it? Man of sorrows. And yet he endured for our sakes. He endured with joy for our sakes what was set before him. We are to rejoice in trials because they nourish joy. What brings joy? How can I be a joyful Christian? Well, obedience brings joy. This is what Nehemiah 8 is all about. The last part of Nehemiah 8. They read the word of God and they obeyed it. Verses 14 through to 17. They were to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles. They were to build booths and not live in their homes. That was to remind them during the course of that week. It was to remind them of the time that God delivered them from Egypt and how they wandered in the wilderness. They were to celebrate the redemption and the deliverance of Almighty God. They were to go back and relive that experience. And when they obeyed it, it says at the end of verse 17, there was very great gladness. There was great joy. How can you be a joyful Christian? Well, remember, joy is independent of circumstances. Joy isn't dependent upon your circumstances. Christian joy is separate from that. Happiness depends, you know, on what happens, but that's not the case with Christians. Blessedness, which the Christian talks about, that happens. You're blessed and you're blessed irrespective of your circumstances, and that's what causes you to have joy. You know, Christian joy comes from within. That blessedness comes from within. That's why Paul could sing in prison. That's why John the Baptist could say when he was in prison, the friend of the bridegroom rejoices. We've often read of Christian martyrs, how they could sing as they faced death. God granted them the grace to do so. They knew that their joy did not come from their circumstances. Well, one final ingredient. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. If you are saved, you are forgiven. If you've been obedient and prayerful, then natural fruit will result. You know, you can't work it up. You can't just say, I'm going to be more joyful today. You can't do it because it's a fruit of the Spirit. Fruit doesn't come because you have determined that you are going to bear fruit. Fruit comes naturally when the sap is running through the tree properly. And when the Holy Spirit has free flow in your life and sins are confessed and you're obedient and prayerful and seeking His will, what's the natural result? You will have joy. Joy becomes a spiritual thermometer. You know, when I don't have joy, I need to check what's wrong. And I don't need to blame anybody else because joy comes from within. Joy does not depend, as I say, on circumstances. So if I don't have joy, something is wrong inside. And surely if the Apostle Paul could rejoice in prison, we can rejoice in the circumstances of life in which we find ourselves. We can rejoice in the midst of a pandemic. You know, joy is a fruit. And if there's no fruit, there's something seriously wrong with the root. So fruit does not come by determination. It comes naturally when your heart is right with Almighty God. So, beloved, together these folks came to the house of God as one man, complete participation. They read the word, they obeyed the word. There was cooperation and unity. They prayed, and it says there was great gladness in verse 17. Great joy. Then notice what Nehemiah tells them to do in verse 10 and verse 12. He says, then he said to them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions to those for whom nothing is prepared. In verse 12, people are obedient. It says, and all the people went their way to eat and drink. Notice, to send portions and rejoice greatly because they understood the words that were declared to them. You know what to do if you've got joy? You share it with someone else. And that's what Nehemiah is telling them to do here in verse 10, and they go to do it in verse 12. They had joy, and once you have joy, well, you go out and share it with someone else. You find someone who has nothing, and you give them a little portion of your joy. They were to help those who had nothing to rejoice about, to rejoice in something to rejoice in. And so as we go out and spread the gospel, it's our evangelistic thrust, isn't it? We go out and spread the gospel. People who are joyless, by God's grace, their hearts are changed, and they come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They have sins forgiven, and they are joyful. So you go out and you give folks a little bit of joy, and it's infectious. So, friends, let us come before God in prayer. We will meet shortly over Zoom. Let us pray. Lord, we pray that you would make us joyful Christians. We are commanded to rejoice in the Lord always, and Paul says it again, rejoice. Thank you, Lord, that circumstances don't affect our joy. Sometimes we let it affect our joy. But we ask, Lord, that you would help us to be a people who are truly bearing that fruit in our lives. And so, Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for teaching us. Help us to put it into practice to the glory of Jesus Christ. We ask it. Amen.